You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK. And this morning, we want to talk about giftings. We want to talk about how God has made really each one of us very special. And we're going to do that via a novel that Chris Fabry has written. He's an award-winning author and radio personality who hosts the daily program Chris Fabry Live. And this is so great to have him with us today talking about his latest book called Every Waking Moment. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, PK, and now I've got to have a personality, right?
it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It comes with the territory, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, when your personality of the year, when you've won that from the National Religious Broadcasters, right? You know, this is all up to you.
It colors you the rest of your life. I've got to. No. Yeah, well, it's great to be with you guys.
That's right, yeah. Well, you can't turn it off. That's right. That's what we say. Chris, this is an amazing novel that you've chosen to write. Is this your first novel you've written?
You know, it's not. It's as far as adult novels go, this is probably my sixth in a series of novels, but they all kind of stand alone, and they all have a little different shade of things that I'm going through and what I'm struggling with and things that I've learned that I try to put onto these characters.
Well, this is about a woman that's in a retirement home, is she? And she's kind of falling through the cracks, right?
Yes. Yeah, and if you got two different spectrums, you got the people who are older and who live there, who have kind of been pushed to the side and marginalized in society, and then you have the younger girl. Her name is Treha, T-R-E-H-A. And just so you know, there's an anagram in that name. You can make another word out of those five letters, T-R-E-H-A. I'll let you think about that.
And so
Treha is 20 years old, and she looks like she's, you know, there's something wrong with her. She looks like she's kind of on the autistic spectrum, and that she doesn't make a connection with people. But the gift that she has is, even though she's just a janitor, quote-unquote, just a janitor, she is able to take people who have gone with dementia or Alzheimer's into some other place. She is able to, through manipulation or touch, she's able to call them back to herself, call them back to their family. And I saw this on a video. It was so eerie to me to see this. This was almost just before the book came out. Somebody sent me this link and said, this is what Treha does. And it was this older woman who is touching this African-American woman, very elderly, the African-American woman is, and she just starts singing to her, singing these songs, you know, these little Bible verses that the older woman sang when she was younger.
Jesus
and
loves
you can,
me. She was singing,
yeah,
Jesus
exactly.
loves
you
me.
Saw it too,
I
didn't
saw
you?
It. I did. It was it's astounding.
Yes. And so she does that, and it's almost like there's an awakening there. Her mouth starts to move, and she starts to sing, and by the end of the video, she's almost fully there, you know, talking with the person. Well, this is what Treha can do. And I didn't know that there was anybody else that could actually do this. I just kind of came up with the concept. But I have a friend at the farmer's market, and I said, her husband is going through this early Alzheimer's thing. And I said, you know, what kind of questions would you ask if you could? And her eyes watered, she teared up. And I think a lot of people would do this too. It was like, if I could have my loved one back with me, my spouse or my parent, here are a list of questions, you know, that I would ask. Here's what I'd want to say if I could reach into that heart. And that's what Treha can do.
Wow.
It reminds me of the movie Awakenings, if you ever saw that, too. And that was just Robert De Niro and Robin Williams, just such a touching movie, too. Well, tell us a little bit about what it was like for Treha, because when others are different, then we tend to kind of look at them and maybe judge them, you know. This is not just Treya's plight in life, but for any of us, maybe we feel like we've been judged because we might not fit in or something. That's amazing.
We put people in pigeonholes, you know, you are this, or we identify them. And I think this is what Jesus, I've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, and Michael Card writes about this in his commentary on Matthew, that this is the gospel of identity, that throughout this gospel, Matthew is calling us to see Jesus as, you know, here is who I am. This is who I am, not who you think I am. and this is who you are. You are not just a fisherman or a tax collector or a Pharisee or whomever. You are related to Jesus. How you relate to Jesus is how you can identify yourself. And so you see Jesus calling them different names. You know, this is what you've been called. Here's what I'm calling you now. And I think God wants to do that same thing in each of our lives. And he also wants to, when he does that, he frees us up to take people out of these pigeonholes, you know, for people who've gone through addictions or, you know, have slid down the pathway in some way and we give up on them. God says, no, that's not, you don't identify the person by all of the sin that's in their life or what has happened. They can be redeemed. They can be changed, transformed, and have a new life. And so it's like being forgiven. You know, the reason that you are forgiven is not just to have a relationship with God. That's great. But you have been forgiven so that you could forgive. You know, he gives you the power to forgive. So this whole idea of identity and putting people in these little neat little holes where we say, well, this is who you are, we can be freed up from that, both the person as well as the people looking at the other person.
I'm talking with Chris Fabry here on Faith Radio Mornings today. He is an author and also radio host. His latest novel is called Every Waking Moment, and it's a story about a young, well, an older woman actually named Treya. Is she older or younger?
Treya is actually the 20-year-old,
or
and
younger.
There's a lady who's named Elsie who is in her 90s, and I've actually got a real friend named Elsie who is 100 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but I like how you've incorporated this. Treya has the gift of connecting for those that seemingly are lost and kind of forgotten by society. So we'll continue talking with Chris about this book, some of the themes that he covers in here as well, and that'll be coming up next here on Faith Radio Morning. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and we're in the middle of a conversation this morning with author Chris Fabry, and he's telling the story of an ordinary woman that has extraordinary gifts, and his book is called Every Waking Moment.
Let's see, Treya, T-R-E-H-A. I think I figured out the acronym, but maybe you want to keep that a secret. I'm not sure.
No, Chris. Go ahead. Try me out.
Well, PK, you got it actually first.
Heart.
I think. Heart.
For heart.
Ta-da.
Yeah,
you got it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
and there's a reason. You find out by the end of the novel why her name is that, because Treya, we talk about identity, Treya doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know her background. She has co-opted the stories of all of these older people, and she's kind of made them her own because she's been abandoned as a child. She doesn't know who her biological mom and dad are. She's been kind of been passed down through the system. So this is a big, you know, one of the themes that I write about in several of my books is who am I really? What is my purpose here? But who am I? And by the end of the novel, you realize that Treya's name came from someone who really did love her, but wasn't able to follow through with that. And we'll keep that, you know, you'll have to read it to find that out.
I but, know. It's kind of tear-jerking at the end. I'll just kind of throw that out there.
Yeah, that's good.
It's good. It's
well,
awesome.
One of the other things I think that this brings up is how important it is for us to connect now with our loved ones, maybe before something happens. Is that one of the intents of this, too?
Absolutely. That message is good no matter, you know, mm-hmm. how old you are, because we do not know what this, you know, how the script ends. Just as we're taping this, we're hearing about the story of the fellow in Indiana who lost his life at the church, you know, and they were celebrating with a gas grill and it exploded. And that church will never be the same, and that family will never be the same. Well, what was that conversation like at the dinner table last night? You know, what kinds of things do you never know what words will be your last with those loved ones that you have, whether something happens to you or somebody else. So, you know, that kind of message will ring home with just about everybody listening, I think.
Yeah, you address the issue of contentment in the book, too, you know, and asking that question, what if this is as good as my life gets? Is that okay? And this kind of has an interesting parallel with your own family story, too, as many perhaps will recall. Maybe you want to tell us a little bit about what it's like to just have health issues that are long-term and to evacuate your home, and tell us a little bit about what that journey was like.
we had a toxic exposure at this house that we thought was going to be, you know, it was our castle. It was going to be the place where our kids were married, and, you know, we grew old there up on the hill in Colorado. And the house was literally killing us, and we didn't know it. And so we left with the clothes on our backs and then changed those after we got out. And it has been almost a five-year journey for us to ask that question. If this is as good as it gets today, if my health, the way I am right now, and for my children, that's an even bigger question because you see their life in front of them. But if this is as good as it gets, am I okay with that? If this is as far as God takes me in my health journey, can I live in a contented way with a heart that's that is at rest with this place that I have right now? And that is not just a health thing. It's also a financial thing. It's a relational thing. There's probably somebody listening today who has a marriage that is not all it could be. In fact, if you're married, that's true for everybody because, you know, you can always get closer and you can always grow together.
Right.
But if your relationship never got any further than it is right now, are you okay with where God has you? Are you going to stay committed to that? And there's a character in the story who's dealing with this, who's dealing with her own retirement and going home and spending time with this guy who sits in front of his computer screen and looks at the stock ticker and, you know, listens to his radio every day, conservative talk radio, you know. And she has to ask that question. This is not the life that I wanted, but this is the life that I have now. How can I be content at the same time moving toward God and, you know, being all I can be, like they say in the Army slogan?
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge question, I think, for everybody, and it's one of the central themes of the book.
Yeah, it really inspired you to write this story, didn't it?
It did, mainly because several of our kids have struggled in a health way, and we have done our dead level best to do everything medically, everything organically, you know, as far as what they eat, get a clean environment. You know, we've done it all, and we've only, you know, gained back X percent of their health. You know, they're only this far. Well, we had to stop and say, are we going to keep trying to climb the mountain to get to some pinnacle where we can finally live again, or just say, look, this is as good as it is right now. Let's live fully where we are. Right in the valley, you know, we live in Tucson, Arizona, where there's a lot of cactus and there's a lot of heat in the summertime and there's a lot of rattlesnakes.
Scorpions,
you know,
that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the ideal environment that I would have chosen because we used to live in Colorado on the hill and we used to get snow. But here we are. This is where God has placed us. And so we ask the question, all right, can I bloom in the desert? And you bet. You can bloom wherever it is you are planted, and that's where the story is set, by the way, is right in Tucson. And it's done that way for a purpose, because I think a lot of people identify with the desert experience, no matter where they are in the country. They identify with that barrenness, because the barrenness is a heart thing. It ain't just a desert location thing.
Well, so for all of us that are, you know, right where we are, this maybe is as good as it gets for right now, but yet we each have certain gifts that God has given to us. How would you just challenge us to just really step up and utilize those?
Embrace the struggle in this sense. A struggle is not a sign that you're failing. Struggling in your life is not a sign that you are dead. If you're struggling, you're alive. And that's the good news. You are alive. And what did Jesus come to do? He came to give us life and give it abundantly. Don't look at your struggle as the sign of death. Look at it as a sign of life. He is pulling you towards something better, something closer to his own heart. And your situation, your circumstances may not change. But if you embrace the struggle, then your heart toward him is going to change.
Amen.
So what if you hate the struggle?
Well, that's true.
How do you? I'm just going to dig a little deeper. I just got to know because, you know, I know a lot of people's stories and they're just hating the struggle.
Well, and sometimes when we say struggle, what we mean is we just fail. And we're not really struggling. We're just failing. And we don't see an end to that. And I understand it because I've been there too. I think it's, I think you have to, you know, instead of the outlook, you get the uplook, which is an old yeah. cliche. But can you really believe that God is in the middle of where you are right now and what is going on in your life, the loss and the pain and the heartache? And, you know, if you believe that God is walking through this with you, then it gives you a different perspective of waking up in the mornings. Where are you going to take me today, God? Not where am I going to lead, God? That's what we do. We superimpose our will over his, and we say to him, in order for you to show me that you are at work in this, you got to get me out of this. And most of the time in my life, he hadn't done that. I make some bad choice or some circumstance happened to me, and I'm in the middle of it, wanting to get out, and he says, no, my grace is sufficient. I'm going to walk through this with you. So as you embrace that kind of struggle, then you'll be nearer to his heart and his will for your life, and he'll do something. And I can tell you, over the last few years, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago, and there's a reason for that, and it was painful. I don't wish it on anybody, and I'd say avoid it if you can, but at the same time, I wouldn't change what has happened in my heart and my life.
Yeah, it's ultimately coming to a place of joy in the journey, as hard mm-hmm. as it can be. But Chris, we just thank you for sharing your journey with us today and for writing the book. It's called Every Waking Moment. There's links up at myfaithradio.com for our listeners to get more information on it. Thanks for the time, Chris. God bless.
Yeah, God bless you guys. Thanks for talking today.